But it is a blessing to be in God's house this evening. If you turn to 2 Timothy tonight, and I was sitting on in the pew during the song service, just enjoying being here. It is really a joy to be in the house of God, to gather around. I love our evening services, Sunday evening, Thursday evening. I like Sunday mornings too, outreach, going out on the bus routes. But it's something about coming together as a church family around the Word of God. Coming in, I was talking to Mr. Mike, I said, coming in, feel like, just running like crazy out in the world working, and you come into church and sitting and singing and being in church. I don't know how the world goes through life without being faithful to the house of God. It is a blessing to be here. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, I'll tell a quick story. I was thinking about it while I was sitting there. I didn't know that Emily was going to be coming through, but Mrs. Custer's daughter, Emily, like my dad said, lived with us for, I thought it was 6 weeks, but five weeks in Belize. And, so much so that, she'd come to family devotions and all of those type of things. And so we're coming in family devotions, as all good parents do, addressing issues. And so we came to family devotions. We're all sitting around, open our Bibles. My dad says, before we start reading, a lot of times we would read a proverb of the day. And before we start reading, I want to address an issue. And he pulls out a set of nail clippers. And he says, these were left out. I believe it was on the counter or something like that. And he proceeds to really double down on a lesson of, well, that's very disgusting. I mean, those are... You don't put that, just going on and on and on about it. It's ill-mannered. It is ill-mannered. And just, looking at me and looking at my brother and kind of skipping over Sharon because she's perfect. But, just really, she knew it was one of us two boys. And very sheepishly, Miss Emily there, very sheepishly raised her hand and said, those are mine. So that's been a running joke. There have definitely been Belize. They actually make nail clippers that have the flag of Belize on them. There have been gifts given back and forth. But the Custers are great people, and encourage you to invite everybody, ladies, everybody to come to that next Friday. I know I enjoy when the ladies come up and do their thing up here and have the message. Us guys, we do a lot of work cleaning up. And then we sit down and open up the food that's left and enjoy it. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, we'll get into the message here tonight. It says here, we'll start in, we'll just read verse 1 to start off here tonight. 2 Timothy 3:1, it says, "This also, know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." In the last days perilous times shall come. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to be in your house, Lord, that as crazy as the world might be, as perilous as these last times are, that we can gather together around your word here tonight and hear from you. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us, speak to our hearts, and allow your word to impact our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So oftentimes when you read this passage, there's a focus on those perilous times, those perilous times. And if you continue on, it talks about how men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affections, truce breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And he's talking about the last days. And I don't think anybody here would argue that it does seem like we are in those days. But so many times the emphasis is put on all of those bad things that are in the last days. And there's a lot that we can look around and we can see the perilous times. We can see the fact that, we have a president that just vetoed the idea of not being judged economically based on how woke you are. And we can look around our own community and see the attacks of on simple morals and Christianity just right here in Pocatello. And we can look at people that fit each and every one of these descriptions, the blasphemers. The blasphemy that we see, we're watching the Super Bowl reruns, and you have that commercial that comes on claiming to be a Christian commercial where it says, hey, he gets us, trying to paint Jesus as an Antifa protester, trying to paint Jesus as an illegal immigrant. The blasphemy that is all over the place around us, the treachery, the ideas of unholiness and unthankfulness, disobedient to parents. There's so much of that filth out there, and that's true. But in the last days, in the heart of Christians and in the church house, there should be some things that are true as well. And I got to thinking, and I was reading a little devotional about this idea, and I got to thinking about, yes, we can focus in on the last days, but in the last days, Jesus is coming back. And what is he going to find us focused on? What is he going to, are we going to be focused on how perilous everything is out there, all of that wickedness, all of that blasphemy? How dare they? How awful it is? Woe is me. Times are tough. Yes, times are going to be tough. I think times are going to get tougher. But there's certain things that should be true of in the hearts and minds of each and every one of us as Christians. In some ways, more true the harder things get, and more true the worse the world gets. And I want to look at a few of those things here tonight, and you might, I might read one of them, and you say, well, that's too simple. Yeah, but these simple things are under attack by the world. And we need to make sure that when Jesus comes back, I don't want Jesus to see me on a detour off the path of the race that we're supposed to be running. I don't want to see him to come back and see me doing something that is pleasing me and making myself feel better instead of working for the service of God. I want these things to be seen and evident in my life when Jesus comes back. When Jesus comes back, if this is the final lap, what will Jesus find us doing when he returns? I want to look at the title of my message tonight is In the Last Days, but it's not a study of the book of Revelation. It's a study of how should our hearts be in the last days. I think first of all, very, very basic, starting at the basics, in the last days, we must be faithful to church. In the last days, we must be faithful to church. You say, of course. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Oftentimes I've quoted and even heard it quoted, the first half of that verse. But it says, all the more that we should be more faithful as we see that day approaching. As we are looking towards Christ's coming, as we are looking towards these last days, we should make sure that we are faithful to church. But instead, so many Christians try to find excuses of, well, life is too busy, and I've got these other responsibilities and all of these things that, hey, I can't just give all of my time and attention to the Lord. I can't just be only focused on Jesus. I have to be focused on what I want to be focused on too. But hey, that's where the devil gets us. That's where we get apathetic Christians in the last days. That's where even the Christians today across America, you can go from church to church. Many churches that my family and I have been to in the last few years, and you can see apathetic churches where they serve God when it's convenient, where they're faithful to God when it's convenient. But hey, they're not the light in the darkness that this is talking about. In these perilous times, in these last days, the light in many of these churches, as it talks about the churches in Revelation chapter 1 through 3, it talks about how a light will go out. In a lot of churches, light has gone out. And it starts with the basics, saying, hey, I've got other things that rival the importance of God in my life, the importance of faithfulness to the house of God. And I think as I read through that, and the first time I read through, in the last days, we should be faithful to church. I read through that passage and thought, okay, I don't miss any church services. I'm in church. I'm good. Check. But I think we've got to really examine our hearts. Are we going through the motions in our faithfulness to church? As it says here, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. As we see these last days approaching, as we see, hey, I believe Jesus, the coming of Christ is around the corner, and way back here in 2 Timothy, Paul was looking forward to that coming of Jesus Christ coming back. And we're supposed to have our eyes set on Him, and more as the time approaches, we don't just need to be here in body, we need to be here in heart. We need to be faithful to the idea of preparing ourselves to sit in this pew and to hear the Word of God preached. And we need to be faithful to going home as the Berean Christians, and instead of getting mad at what might have been preached, go and find it from the Bible. And it's a whole lot harder to argue with God than it is to argue with the preacher. And you know what? Most of the time, the people get mad at the preacher. It's true. It's from the Bible. They just don't have the guts to go and complain to God about it. But let's be faithful not just to come to church, but to study it out and to go home and apply these truths to our lives and to say, hey, I want to come and I want to come hungry. I want to come to church every time the door is open. I want to come. Man, that class on Saturday nights is so valuable. So valuable. I had to miss it this last Saturday. And at Saturday night, I finally got to go into bed and I was, you know, something was missing. I love that Saturday class, but coming ready and open to hear the Word of God preached and taught. In the last days, we must be faithful to church. In the last days, we must spend more time with God. So if the times are more perilous, we should spend more time focused on putting on that armor of God every morning. We should spend more time making sure, hey, the devil will try to convince us, you got it. You don't have to go crazy about that today. It's just one day. You've got this. You've got this. And I think what's one of the biggest lies of the devil, I know that's a lie that the devil tries to trip me up with, was, hey, I was reading my Bible and I had a really good devotions yesterday. I'm busy. I got this. It's going to be okay. No, every time we leave our door, we're going out into a perilous and treacherous world that's full of attacks from the devil. The devil would love nothing more than to trip us up and to stop our witness. It excites me. I say the weather's getting nicer. It excites me the moments where I feel like the weather is getting nicer and I'm excited to go out and knock on doors. I'm excited for all the soul winning efforts that the Lord has in store for us this summer. But if before that, the devil can stop us, and he stops us by stopping our time with the Lord. I think one of the most incredible books that we've gotten, and it's a book that my dad had me read, I think for the first time, I believe I was 12 or 13, what was The Prayer Life. And every once in a while we'll get books, and we have a wonderful bookstore if nobody knows about that. I think it's important to read, but I think it's important to read books that help grow our Christian life. But vital, vital to our health, spiritual health, is our walk with God. And as the time gets perilous, as these covetous and boasters and proud and blasphemers, all these things are going on around us, and you say, Lord, how is my family going to make it? How is my marriage going to make it? How is my thought life going to be what it's supposed to be? How am I going to make it financially? How, you know, the economy looks like it's going to fall apart. Everything seems to be falling apart. How am I going to have a good life? Walk with God closer and closer every day. See, it's getting worse out there. So we should get closer with God right here. Right here. We need to get on our knees more. We need more time dedicated to growing our walk with God, not just going through the motions, evaluating where our walk is and determining to grow closer, begging God to show you what might be in your heart that is keeping you from being even closer and closer and closer. I think under this point I have written down the name Enoch. I think of Enoch. He lived in some terrible times. Very terrible times. People all around him not doing right. But he got so close to God. walking closer and closer and closer with the Lord. Spending more and more time with the Lord that eventually they were so close that God just, he never died. God just said, come on up here. He just brought him up to heaven. Can you imagine being that close to God? Can you imagine enjoying a walk with God so closely that your day's not complete? Your day's not complete without that sweet hour of prayer. Your day's not complete without walking figuratively in the cool of the morning with the Lord. And this is something that really spoke to me. It's something that I know I need to do more of. It's something that got me to say, hey, if I have a long, a bad night, I'm gonna sometimes have to postpone other things to make sure I get my time in with God. I have to, because I know what it's like not to have a close walk with God. And I don't want that life. And I also know how sweet it is to walk with our Savior. How sweet it is to fellowship with Him every moment of every day. And that is what I want more of. That's what I want more of. If you think about it this way, and oftentimes we're talking about our relationship with God, the easiest example that I find is a husband and wife relationship. I know it's different, but the closest relationship I have, earthly relationship I have, is with my wife. And you know, my wife and I have these books that every day for 100 days we got at the beginning of the year. Every day I read something that is sometimes it's a Bible verse or something to help me be a better husband to my wife. And as we grow our relationship, as we are taking steps to grow closer together, and I know we've only been married a year and a half, but as we grow closer together, there's things that I used to do that maybe I've cut out. There's things that used to take up time that I now spend with my wife that used to seem important to me. And now I look back at those things and think, why would I give up how wonderful our relationship is now to go back there and get that back? Why would I take that useless thing that I was doing? Maybe it's, at times, I think I mentioned in my last sermon about playing my Sudoku game. With my nose in my phone playing Sudoku before bed instead of sitting and reading and fellowshipping and spending time with my wife, it seems pretty dumb. But if I didn't get my game of the day done for a long time there, man, it bothered me. And then I stopped for a couple days and a few weeks went by and I thought, I haven't played one game. And he said, well, that's dumb. I don't even, Sudoku doesn't interest me. I think I got that the enjoyment of Sudoku from my mom. But there's nothing I wouldn't trade anything for how close of a relationship I have with my wife. So why are we trading the things of this world for a close relationship with God? You know, if we're going to have the right relationship with our spouse, or right relationship with our family, or have a right walk, be right in our ministries, and have a right relationship with friends and family, we first need to have that relationship with God taken care of. In the last days, we must be faithful to church. In the last days, we must spend more time with God. And in the last days, we must be faithful in our giving. Now, oftentimes, when somebody says, "Hey, you need to be faithful in your giving," only our tithe and offerings come to mind. But I think it's important to be faithful in giving of ourselves, of giving of ourselves and our time. How much time a week do we spend watching that TV show? How much time a week do we spend scrolling Facebook? Talk about a waste of time. How much time a week do I spend eating? How much time a week do we spend doing this or that? How much time a week do we spend doing perfectly fine things? But I wonder, that, and the Bible doesn't command this, but I've often wondered, and I've tried to calculate at times, do we tithe on our time? Do we even spend 10% of our week with God? I'm saying coming to church, reading our Bibles, praying, going to knock on doors, serving the Lord. Is 10% of our week God's? Whoa, that's a lot to ask. Well, the average American spends about 9 hours a day on an electronic device. That's nearly 50%. You know, we might be given 10% to other things, but and it's not commanded 10%. It's not commanded exactly that. But are we faithful in giving of ourselves and everything we have to God? Hey, we can say, hey, I put my money in the offering plate every Sunday. Great. But are you faithful to be faithful to giving of your time? Say, well, I can't go out and knock on doors. We miss Brother Thompson's sisters tonight. They are faithful in serving God. So many times I'll come through the church, grab something, and there they are, working away in the library, working for the Lord. Let's be faithful in giving to the Lord. But talking about giving isn't just about giving our tithe and offering, but it is. I think it's important to be faithful. We see God bless and we see wonderful things happen and we see God bless financially and we think, okay, I can back off. No, God's not done. God wants more to be done. God wants more missionaries. It was exciting, wasn't it, at our last business meeting to be able to increase our worldwide giving, to increase our reach and winning. We hear reports back, and in this next week we'll have a report on Belize, but we talk about 20 souls getting saved on their anniversary Sunday, and we talk about, I believe I've heard of 7 getting saved since. Exciting stuff, but man, it's exciting that we get to be able to be a part of making that happen from right here in Pocatello. Many of you say, hey, I've never been to Belize, but we've been able to reach the lost in Belize because of giving. And there's less and less. I can tell you that there are so many less good churches that are giving and sacrificing to send out missionaries and church planters. Lights of the gospel are going out all over the world. All over the world. The Bible talks about the word Ichabod. So many churches that could really be posted across the door. You talk about Facebook. There is one group that I was invited to join on Facebook. And I don't post anything. I just see postings. And it's a very specific genre on there. It is King James only, independent, fundamental Baptist churches looking for a pastor. I'd say at least half a dozen a day I see come through. Churches. Now, I'm not saying churches in general. I'm saying King James Bible, independent, fundamental Baptist church. Now, we probably wouldn't agree with everything with each of those churches, but that's a pretty limited type of church. And dozens a week are just saying that we don't have a preacher. Some of them say, hey, we have a parsonage and we have a paycheck, but we don't have a preacher. Now, I pray that the Lord would fill those pulpits, but so many places, there's a need for the preaching of the gospel. And praise the Lord, we've got some young people that are training right now. We've got people, there's DJ. DJ starting Bible college this fall. I don't know where God will send DJ or have DJ serve him. But we need to be faithful in our giving so that we can be a part as a church and training young people, getting them ready and sending them out. Man, wouldn't it be fun to be able to say, hey, this church over here, that was that bus kid, DJ, that rode the bus. And remember, there was that time we didn't think he'd even come back to church. Then he got right with God and his family got saved. And he went to Bible college and he worked in the ministry. And then we got to, as a church, go help him start another church out of Mountain Valley Baptist Church. Well, that's not going to happen without us giving of ourselves, our money, our time, our efforts. We've got to give of ourselves. In the last days, we must be faithful in our giving. We must be faithful in church, faithful in our more time with God, and faithful in our giving. And fourthly, in the last days, and this is my last point, pretty simple, we must win the lost. We must win the lost. That's what it boils down to. If you imagine it being a race, and I have a very vivid imagination. My dad talks about how he closes his eyes and he sees words. Man, I have a vivid imagination. Vivid imagination. That's what I like when Mr. Mike preaches. He paints a picture. And if you imagine the race of life and you're going around the track, round and around. I've never liked NASCAR. It just goes round and around and around. But say, hey, we're in the last. We're on that final lap. That final lap. We know that we're closer today to the Lord coming back than ever before. So we should be doing everything we can to say, hey, there's one over here. They need the gospel. Hey, there's one there. Let me stop and knock on their door. I might not be out on Saturday visitation, but I see some bicycles out front. Maybe those kids would want to ride the bus. Well, we should have an intensity about looking for people. It'd be like going out in an ocean and knowing that there is danger approaching, and you know that if they stay out there, they'll drown. Man, I'd go out there and just grab them. I don't care what they think. I'd grab them and pull them in. I'd be looking for anybody around. But we're in the last days, the last chances, the last days that they have an opportunity to receive the gospel before it's too late. Once Jesus comes back, we won't be here to tell them. We must seek to win the lost. So many Christians, if you go back to that analogy of being on that final lap, we're off on a pit stop. We're off doing this or that or the other. There's so many distractions that can keep us from winning the lost. But nothing should be more important. I mean, you think of what keeps you from being here on Saturday morning? What keeps you from being the soul winner you should be? How is that more important than the eternal destiny of all those around us? In these last days, we must be soldiers for the gospel. We must take the word of God out. I I'm excited about knocking on doors this summer. Man, it's exciting. Don't be on the sideline. Join in. You say, I already come Saturdays. All right. Do you have a day a week that you could say, hey, an hour after work, I can go and hit a few doors? So that's overkill. That's way too much to ask. And I'm not asking. I'm asking you to pray if God will lead you to do that. But what about those people you might reach in that hour? Are they not worth knowing the gospel and going to heaven? I don't know. I think they are. I appreciate the fact that as a hard-headed teenager in a pastor's home, the gospel was preached over and over and over again until it got through my head that I was just going through the motions and I wasn't really saved. And I got saved when I was 16 years old in 2014 in May. I'm glad that there were people who thought it was worth it to continue to share the gospel with me. And I go out and I was laughing the other day about the fact that, you know, the Bible talks about taking the gospel to every creature. And the more we spend time out here, the more people are looking like creatures. I don't think it's that funny. But they need the gospel before it's too late. The question is our heart where it needs to be to really have that burden, to have that fire within us? The camp, one of my greatest loves in ministry is running the teen camp. And we're gearing that up right now. We're excited for teen camp. But the name of our camp is Camp Ignite. It has the idea of that verse where it says, set my soul afire, Lord. I think of that song, set my soul afire. That was the first year if we had camp. That was our theme. Pastor Mosley preached camp, was the guest speaker at camp that year, and he's going to be the speaker this year as well. And do you remember the time when there was that fire burning inside you that you had to share the gospel? You had to focus on the Lord? Sometimes, like John's pilot light that goes out, you say, I want it relit. Man, this 2023, I don't want to go through the summer focused on fishing and focused on our pastimes. Great, that's all great. I'm not saying don't do that. But I want a fire that says, hey, I want to go win the lost. And how do you get that? You make sure you're faithful to the house of God. You make sure you're spending more time with God. You make sure you're on your knees and in His Word. You make sure that you're faithful in giving of yourself and everything you have. Hey, that's where you start doing that and God starts reigniting that fire. And before you know it, you start seeing personal revival. And boy, do we need a real revival. Not this stuff going on at that college campus where they have queers running the music show and no mention of the gospel. No, we need revival. And we need a gospel revival in the last days. So yes, in the last days there are perilous times. But in the last days our hearts need to be reignited for faithfulness in church. Our hearts need to be reignited with the flame of walking, that sweet hour of prayer. Our hearts need to be reignited in these last days in faithfulness and giving. We need a fire reignited that pushes us to have a burning desire to share the gospel, snatching them from the road to hell. The Bible says, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. We might be in the last days, but God still has a plan for Mountain Valley Baptist Church and for each and every one of us. And I encourage us to really search our hearts, ask the Lord to search our hearts to make sure, hey, has that flame gone out? Has that flame gone out in any one of these areas? Beg God to reignite that flame for Him. Dear Lord, thank You for this day. Thank You for the opportunity to be in Your house. Lord, once again, it is a blessing that we have the opportunity to meet in a wonderful building with wonderful people. But Lord, I pray, God, I pray that You would stir us up. Lord, we wouldn't just get comfortable with where we are, but we'd get excited. We'd get reignited and on fire for You. And Lord, we want to do everything we can to walk with You closer and to serve You more and to win the lost more. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.